Do you recognize this place? Al-Bayda, with interesting information about the site. Archaeologists tell us that the people used to camp here in the distant past, so they picked up this information there. It was here at Seir Mountains at Al-Bayda, Kadesh, where Moses arrived after a long, tiresome journey. So how did Moses shatter the symbolism of the cross and the death of Christ when he struck that rock twice? Body language of this old man. Man, he's definitely not very happy. What causes us to frown like this? Have you disappointed the Lord and your loved ones and yourself? Maybe you've disgraced the cause of God by the way you behaved. Maybe you are so devastated that you don't feel like ever going to church again or to be an active witness for the Lord. But I've got good news for you. When we come to God just as we are, He embraces, forgives, and restores us, and treats us as though we had never sinned before. Look at this rock. Is he crying because of what happened here to Moses? You know, after Moses sinned, God picked up his friend, embraced him, forgave him, and allowed him to continue in his service. What a God. So God uses sinners to proclaim his goodness. Now Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. Thus says your brother Israel, you know all the hardships that has befallen us. Now even to this day, people in the Middle East greet one another as brothers, if they are relatives. So here we have two relatives. In which way were Israel and Edom brothers? And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the same stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. Esau became the father of the Edomites. Moses reminds his brother Edom of the problems they experienced in the desert with the hope that he will show them a little mercy. No internet, no WhatsApp. They had a way to communicate in those days through fire, through sound. They were clever people. So this is what he said to his brother Edom. You know all the hardships that has befallen us. Now the word here for hardship comes from the Hebrew word, the Hebrew root, meaning to be weary. Walking for 40 days, you become weary. Here it refers to the difficulties of their long journey, perilous and wearisome, with no settled home of their own. Can you imagine being away from home for 40 years, walking every day? But my brother Edom, that is not all. Weariness is not all. Let me tell you something else. How our fathers went down to Egypt and dwelt in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians afflicted us and our fathers. He was trying to solicit some sympathy from Edom. Brother Edom, I'm certain you watch the documentary on CNN about our existence as slaves and the cities we built for Pharaoh. Edom, we are spiritually exhausted. But let me tell you what happened eventually. When we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent the angel and brought us up out of Egypt. Now here we are at Kadesh, a city on the edge of your border. Who was the angel? Please let us pass through your country. We will not pass through fields of vineyards, nor will we drink water from the wells. We will go along the king's highway. You can visit the king's highway today. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory. Who was this angel? Modern King's Highway is built on the same ancient one that Israel traveled on. Brother Edom, we can make a money transfer on internet this very minute. Please state the amount. You see, if we pass through your country, it will save us the trouble of going back all the way down to the Red Sea and then up north again. And this is just a map to show you where it all happened. The King's Highway was the main road from Damascus in the north to Aqaba and the Red Sea in the south. What's next to Loretta here? This is on the highway. The King's Highway was restored by the Romans many centuries later. Two of the milestones were discovered when work was done on the modern King's Highway. So how did Edom react to the polite request of Moses? I wish it were like this. My dear brother Jacob, I'm so sorry to hear about your hardships. By all means, cross my territory, settle in the promised land, and please don't worry about making money transfers. Then Edom said to him, "You shall not pass my land, lest I come out against you with a sword." Our kindness or rudeness is recorded for others to read, my friend. So please don't do these things. So here we read about the scandalous way Edom treat his brother. Maybe they were scared that Israel would occupy their land. Moses did not despair, and he repeated his request. Perseverance, by the way, is the master of defeat. So the children of Israel said to him, "We will go by the highway, please. And if I or my livestock drink any of your water, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more. Is a family member seeking your friendship? Are you rejecting it?" What does the psalmist say on this family matter? Because there are always crises in families. He says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Relationships, so important. Esau's beautiful, colorful Petra. But you know, unfortunately, the king's heart did not display the same beauty as that of his capital. Then he said, "You shall not pass through." So Edom came out against them with many men, with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory. So Israel turned away from him. Can you see the Edomite soldiers occupying these mountains? What was God's original promise? "You've skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward." Here they are now. "And command the people, saying, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully." The gravel, the sand, the stones, the detours of life are not pleasant. But they teach us lessons that the smooth highways of life cannot teach us. Israel's camp here at Al-Baida was in very close proximity of Edom. If only they had trusted God when their water supply stopped, they would have tasted Edomite water. God had already prepared the hearts of the Edomites at the time, and they would have feared Israel and shown them favor and hospitality. The moment was there. When God bids us to move forward, my dear friend, we will succeed. If we linger, we will lose. You know, sometimes God speaks to us about a thing. Phone somebody. Don't apologize. Do it immediately. Don't delay. This is what the history of Israel tells me. Where are you at this stage of your journey to Canaan? Are you ready to do what God wants you to do at the right time? Israel did not trust God and failed to move forward in faith. And while they were murmuring, a golden opportunity of victory was lost forever. When they were at last ready to present their request to the king, after all the drama, it was refused. Ever since they left Egypt, Satan had been steadily at work to throw hindrances and temptations on their way. They might not inherit Canaan. Don't think he's going to make it easy for you on your journey to the heavenly promised land. Be aware of your enemy. Some theologians say there is no enemy. There is one, my friend. And by their own unbelief, they had repeatedly opened the door for him to resist the purpose of God. It is important to believe God's word and act upon it promptly while his angels are waiting to work for us. Remember, evil angels are ready to contest every advanced step. Be quick to do what God wants you to do. When God's providence bids his children go forward, when he is ready to do great things for them, Satan tempts them to displease the Lord by hesitation and delay. He seeks to kindle a spirit of strife or to arouse murmuring or unbelief and thus deprive them of the blessings that God desired to bestow. God's servants should be minutemen, ever ready to move as fast as his providence opens the way. And delay on their part gives time to Satan to work to defeat them. This is so important. Even if he asks you to surrender to him right now, don't delay. Do it immediately. Is there something that God wants you to do right now, my friend? Are you convinced about the matter? Please go forward and do it. Do not meddle with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as one footstep, because I've given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food for them with money that you may eat, and you shall buy water from them with money that you may drink. They were to dispossess and utterly destroy the inhabitants of Canaan, which filled up the measure of the iniquity. But the Edomites were at the stage still probationers, and as such were to be mercifully dealt with. God only punishes when the right time is there. That's why he says, you don't retaliate. Leave it to me. He knows what he's doing. As an encouragement to Israel to trust in God and obey his word, they were reminded, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows your trudging through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. They were not dependent upon the Edomites, for they had a God extremely rich in resources. They must not by force or fraud seek to obtain anything pertaining to them, but exemplify the principles of divine law. And what is the divine law? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Had they in this manner passed through Edom, as God had purposed, the passage would have proved a blessing, not only to themselves, but to the inhabitants of the land. For it would have given them an opportunity to become acquainted with God's people and his worship, and to witness how the God of Jacob prospered those who loved and feared him. This would have been an evangelistic effort. But all this the unbelief of Israel had prevented. God had given the people water in answer to their clamors, but he permitted their unbelief to work out its punishment. Any lessons to be learned from their history? The Bible says, the New Testament, we should learn from them. And that's why we're doing this series. Don't miss out on heaven, and let's study how to get there. God has a happy, beautiful, meaningful plan for our lives. Let's trust and obey him and experience a spiritual feast. Right at the border of the promised land, they had to turn around and walk again the desert wastes. If they had trusted God, this would never have happened. Lessons to be learned. Trust and obey. This is Petra again, Elbayara, an Edomite fortress. It says thus, Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory. So Israel, and these are sad words, turned away from him. It could have been so different. Now the children of Israel, the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came to Mount Hor. Now where is Mount Hor? And this is what I love about Bible study and archaeology and the writings of Josephus and other historians. This is where they sacrificed humans, at Petra. At the opposite end is Mount Hor. So they thought if they sacrifice a child, they gain favor with God. What a cruel, silly religion. Now here's one of the obelisks called the Zipatuf. If you look carefully, you'll see a white spot in the distant mountains. That's Mount Hor. So Petra, the Mount of Petra, and Mount Hor were not far apart. In Arabic, it's called Jebel Nebi Harun. That is the Mount of the Prophet Aaron. It has a mosque, this Mount Hor, on top of it, on the supposed site of the Prophet's tomb, and is visited by devout pilgrims. So when you go to Petra, try and visit the site. Now this is what the terrain looks like, where Israel had to walk back. What do you think of this highway? As they continued their journey toward the south, their route lay through hot, sandy valley, destitute of shade or vegetation. The way seemed so long and difficult, and they suffered from weariness and thirst. Next thing, what's going to happen now? And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor, by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people. What does that mean? For he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Another word for Meribah, Kadesh, Abida. Gathered to his people. What does it mean? I looked at a few verses of scripture. Let's look. Was Aaron a good or a bad person? Other references to the expression, Genesis 25:8. Then Abram breathed his last, like we will also do, and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. The word gathered to his people. Another text. These were the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. He breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. Was he good or bad? Another one. So Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. You're looking at the site at Machpelah, at Hebron, where he was buried. Was he a good or a bad person? And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed, because he was outside, and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. You know, it's interesting to study phrases in the Bible. It enriches your appreciation for the book. Was he a good or a bad man? In the vicinity of Kadesh, Moses listens to the most solemn words. And when you have seen it, you shall also be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother was gathered. Oh, this is hard words. Gathered to your people. Would these words be repeated when God refers to you and me at our death? Let them be gathered to their people. You know, I'm going to bed one of these days. As you can see, I'm an old man. But my prayer is that my wife will be resurrected with me. And my daughter. And I think you've got the same wish. When God spoke it, it seems to refer to the saved. May these words be spoken to you. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up to the Mount Hor. And strip Aaron of his garments. Oh, this is serious. And put them on Eleazar, his son. For Aaron shall be gathered to his people and die there, gathered to his people and die. I want to be gathered with God's people when I die. What about you? So Moses did just as the Lord commanded, and they went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. How did Aaron say goodbye to those who were very dear to him? You know, goodbyes is one of the most difficult things in life. And Aaron was saying, I think with tears in his eyes, and he was choked. By my friends. What a very sad occasion. It should not have happened. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. How did they say goodbye to one another on top of the mountain? This is where the parting between the two brothers and son took place, here on top of Mount Hor. This is the view from where Aaron died. This is what Moses looked to as he attended his brother's funeral. There could arise no question as to the legality of the succession of Eleazar to the sacred office after his father's death. The first high priest died and his son was appointed in his place. They were types of the antitypical high priest who would never die. Jesus, our intercessor, is available day and night to handle our case. Our cases don't look too good, but he can handle it. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, that's Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Hebrews 7. What a thought. In case you are struggling with guilt and distrust, there is a high priest that is willing to help you. What happened down below at the foot of Mount Hor? Numbers 20. Now when all the congregation saw Aaron was dead, all the house of Israel mourned for Aaron 30 days. Have you mourned about the loved ones, bringing back memories? It took them 30 days to think back of Aaron. This is Mount Nebo. A little later, they would mourn again for 30 days. This time over the death of Moses, who nurtured them for 40 years. Ah, these sites are filled with tears, very salty. In the following lecture, we will meditate on the last conversation between the two brothers. Have you had this kind of experience with a loved one, talking to a loved one just before they died? If you are estranged from a loved one, remember, there is still time to reconcile. Father in heaven, we will be gathered, hopefully, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to walk an upright life, an exemplary life. And bless us as we continue the story of Moses and Israel. In Jesus' name, Amen.